Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
I'm Molly Wansell.
And I'm Geoffrey Wansell.
And for the last 16 years or thereabouts, we have been having lunch every Saturday, and often our conversation turns to murder.
And that's what's prompted us to launch this true crime podcast called Blood Ties.
Hi everyone, welcome back to the Blood Ties podcast. I'm Molly Wansell and I'm here with my father, Geoffrey Wansell.
Hello everyone, welcome back. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you've had a good week. Hope that as the spring starts, we might get a few lighter nights and happier days, and the whole awful darkness might begin to recede a little. I hope so anyway.
Me too. What a year.
Yeah, been nothing if not tough.
Tough.
And although we have managed to stick pretty close to the rules and regulations, I know a lot of people who haven't.
I know, you've been very good.
But we really have.
How long will it be till you get your second vaccine?
I should get it around Easter.
Not too far.
Yeah, and I believe it or not, that my surgery, my general practitioner rang me up this week and said, "Will you go for a blood test, please?" I said, "Where shall I go?" And he said, "Oh, well, we've got a system. So I'm going along on Tuesday morning."
Is that in relation to your vaccine or just for you generally?
Just me in general, yes. They test me regularly, get my blood pressure tested and all that. So, it's, you know, in little ways, you can see little glimmers, little shreds of...
Yeah, chinks of light.
Yeah.
Normality.
Yeah. But we've booked an outing to the Chelsea Arts Club in London for the 16th of April.
Ooh.
Yes.
Cool, I think you might be out before me, Dad.
Two groups of six. Because you're going to have the groups of six. And it'll have to be masks until you're sitting down.
Cool, and you have to sit outside still.
Yeah, because they've got a garden. That's the only reason we can go. They've got a garden.
Oh, my God. I think you might be out and about on the town before me.
Well.
I mean, I don't know why I sound surprised. Well, we all know who's got the superior social life.
Oh, I don't think that's true at all.
Come on.
Absolutely not.
We know the truth. Well, that's very jolly. I hope it works out for you.
Well, we thought it was an idea. The dear old Garrick can't open until the 17th of May, which is 10 weeks away. The only reason the Chelsea Arts, and indeed for that matter the Athenaeum or the Oriental or the Savile, can open is because they have outside spaces.
These are all private members' clubs in London, by the way.
Oh, I'm sorry, I should have explained that.
Geoffrey's only a member of two of those listed.
Yes.
It would be a bit excessive to be a member of all of them.
I know a man who's a member of five.
Five?
I don't know how he manages it. He just likes the idea of it, I think.
That's a lot.
It's a lot.
I'm only a member of one.
Yeah. Well, that's a good one, though.
Yeah, and I don't know...
Have they got... They've got outside spaces.
Yeah, limited. Well, Shoreditch House has a big...
It's got a big terrace, hasn't it?
Big, like...
Roof garden.
Pool roof area, and they've changed it up so it's bigger. But you still couldn't fit that many people. I don't think they'd open for it. But I think Soho Farmhouse is opening because they've got lots of outside space.
Have they? Where's that?
North Oxfordshire.
Okay.
And, but then, yeah, and then the Dean Street has a little bit, like two little terraces. Greek Street has like one bit of roof.
Yeah.
I think the one with the most outside space is White City House, actually.
Okay.
But... I don't live in West London.
No, that's
so
a long way for you to go, isn't
it? Move me.
That would be a long way.
It's very nice, but yeah, it's too far. I don't really like going that far west, unless it's required.
No,
me.
It's extraordinary. But, you know, I go to the supermarket at 7 o'clock in the morning to avoid any other people being there.
I went to the supermarket at 8 o'clock this morning.
I get my deliveries, which is, but, you know, providing the vaccination program rollout continues at this current pace, I should have had two jabs by Easter or immediately afterwards, and that sounds, you know, as much as one can possibly do to help. Here in England, schools are going back, or back now. They'll have been back a week, which is interesting. We'll have to see what impact it has on us, but it's been a long year, a very, very, very long year, which I don't think has been easy for anyone, whether they're a child or an adult.
Nope, I agree. Has an impact on all ages, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's probably been quite a hard year for dogs too, actually.
Oh, I bet she's just, as you've witnessed, just totally dependent on me now. She was very, like, really good at being left on her own, like, didn't have any separation anxiety really at all, and now it's like, I mean, I can't leave her for, like, at all. So I'm going to have to do something about that.
Well, I think it'll come back, as we all come back, so to speak. It's a road back, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the...
It's not ideal. Anyway, on we ramble. Let's get on with it. So...
Yes, well, this week...
This is also suggested by a listener. Hold on, I'm going to find you.
Okay.
An Instagrammer.
One of our Instagrammers. Thank you very much.
We love you all on Instagram. Please tell your friends and ask them to follow us, because I really love... I love the Instagram crew. I think you're all great. Okay, I don't know what your name is. The message came from The Rank Bank. Hello, The Rank Bank. You're a lighthearted game podcast hosted by Joe and Chris. Hello, Joe and Chris.
Hello, hello.
Thanks for listening. Obviously, everyone go and listen to The Rank Bank also.
Yes.
The message says, I cannot remember you did this a few years ago, as you've done so many episodes. That's true. But can I suggest the mystery around the M6 twins and the subsequent events and murder after that?
Yeah. Well,
and so, Joe and Chris.
Thank you.
Here we are.
We're going to do the M6 twins.
The M6 twins.
The twins are called Ursula and Sabina Eriksson, as in the telephone maker at one point.
Or Sven Goran.
What?
Wasn't there a football person called Sven Goran Eriksson?
Oh, Sven Goran Eriksson, yes. England football manager.
Yeah. Didn't he date Ulrika Johnson?
Yes.
pointless trivia.
Pointless trivia. They were born on the 3rd of November 1967, and they were identical twins. They were remarkable in that they never came to anybody's attention until they were 40. I mean, the events surrounding them was like a bolt from the blue. There was no run-up. There was no precursor. It was just bang. So, in fact, what happens is Ursula, they have an older brother and an older sister. There's no history of mental illness. There's no history of criminal convictions. And by 2000, the year 2000, Ursula is living in the USA and Sabina. I'm sure it's Sabina too. Is living in County Cork in Ireland with her partner, and two children. So far, so normal. And then, out of the blue, for no apparent reason, Ursula leaves the United States to visit Sabina.
Sabina.
In Cork. And Sabina has a great row with her partner. And the twins storm off. They leave County Cork. They go to Dublin. This is May 2008. And they're both 40. They go to Dublin. They get on a ferry. They go to Liverpool. And they go to a police station to report the ill treatment of Sabina's two children.
But they go all the way to Liverpool to do it, even though she lives in County Cork?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, you could say that's the first indication of what might be going on.
And the children have been left, though, in the house. They're not come with them.
They have.
Okay.
I know this sounds a little eccentric, and it gets more eccentric as the story goes on. On the Saturday morning of the 17th of May 2008, having reported to the police, and the police incidentally ring Dublin, who ring Cork, and say, oh, well, she just had a row with her partner. No big deal. No real issues of domestic violence around. The children look fine. So the twins get on a National Express bus for London. I've no idea why, but then they go to the Liverpool coach station and they get on the National Express bus to London. Now, there are lots of worrying details here. They are both clutching very tightly bags. Literally, they're sort of holding them to their chests. And the bus driver thinks, the coach driver, to be fair, sorry, the coach driver thinks they're a bit strange. Well, he thinks they're even stranger when they demand, as they're going down the M6, that they stop, because they don't feel well. They want to stop, an unscheduled stop, at the Keel service station in Staffordshire. Well, they're behaving oddly. Not just clinging on to, but they're just very odd. And so the bus driver, coach driver, says, this feels odd to me, and refuses to let them back on the bus. And the manageress of the service station calls the police, because the National Express coach has got to go off to London. And anyway, the police are called. Two 40-year-old Swedish ladies, both of whom apparently in full command of their senses, look to the two officers who arrive as, and I use the word they used, utterly harmless. Well, perhaps they're just not feeling well, or don't know. So the officers leave. The twins then take it into their heads to walk on the M6. It is quite an extraordinary story. They decide to walk south. They start walking, and then they try, of course, they would, wouldn't they, to cross it on foot.
Oh, God, it's absolutely terrifying.
Well, it would terrify the motorists.
Motorways give me the heebie-jeebies at the best of times.
Yeah, they terrify the motorists. There's cars screaming all over the place, and these two women, these identical 40-year-old Swedish twins, are walking across the motorway. And, of course, you know, the forces of law and order are assembled at some speed, because it's chaos on the M6. And there they are, walking along. The police arrive, and they're questioning the twins on the hard shoulder of the northbound carriageway, when Ursula breaks free and runs into the motorway. She's hit by an articulated lorry. and badly hurt. Her legs are very badly hurt. Sabina quickly follows suit, runs into the motorway and is hit by a VW Polo and thrown into the air.
Oh my God, this is awful.
But both survive.
But horribly injured.
Well, Sabina's not as badly injured as Ursula. Sabina's knocked unconscious, but in fact the flight into the air simply meant that she banged her head on the ground. She's unconscious for about 15 minutes. Ursula, badly hurt by the articulated lorry, is absolutely is incensed. She's screaming, she's spitting, she's scratching at the police officers, and she's shouting, "I know you're not real."
Are they on drugs or something?
No evidence of that, whatever. I'll come to what I think might have been at foot. After waking up, Sabina starts shouting, "They're trying to steal our organs." And she too starts screaming and gets up to run back onto the M6. The police and a couple of members of the service station finally catch up with Sabina. Ursula can't move. She's too badly injured to move. And they carry her, literally, Sabina, they carry her to an ambulance where she's handcuffed and sedated. Meanwhile, the air ambulance arrives to remove Ursula to hospital nearby in Stafford. So you've got, absolutely out of the blue, for no apparent reason, this utterly bizarre incident on the M6 at the Kiel service station. There's no clear explanation. Sabina, in the end, I mean, she's taken to jail, in fact. She's taken to police station and imprisoned. And on the Monday morning, she pleads guilty to trespass on the motorway and to hitting a police officer. In fact, it was a policewoman. And she's sentenced to one day in jail. And as she's served it, she's let free. Now, one of the things that wasn't done, and you might well say, why not, was any kind of psychological evaluation. It would have seemed common sense for a woman to run into the M6 knowing that it might be certain death. To be psychologically evaluated.
Yeah.
Even if you try and commit suicide, for example, they take you to the police station, they give you a psych evaluation before they let you out again. But no, not this time. Even though it was 2008 and everybody was quite well aware of
mental illness,
of that sort of thing. Well, now it's the Monday morning. And Sabina, it's the 19th of May 2008, and Sabina is in Stoke-on-Trent, where her sister has been taken to hospital, and she's been in the police station. And she starts wandering around Stoke-on-Trent, saying she's looking for her sister. You could ask, why didn't she ask the police? Because they would have told her. But nevertheless, she's wandering about. She wanders about Stoke-on-Trent for a whole day, until at 7 o'clock... she's spotted by two men, a man walking his dog called Glenn Hollinshead and his friend Peter Malloy. Hollinshead is a welder, a paramedic and an ex-RAF airman. You know, upright citizen, 54. Nice man. His mate, Peter Malloy, old friends, they're walking the dog and they come across Sabina Erickson, who engages them in conversation. She starts patting the dog. And then she says, "Oh, do you know any B&Bs around here? Because I'm trying to find my sister, and I've got to stay until I see her." Well, at that point, Hollinshead, one can never know quite what the motivations were, but Hollinshead said, "Well, no, come stay with me. You know, I've got plenty of spare rooms, and Peter's going to come back with me for a drink." So they go back to Hollinshead's house, and have a drink, something to eat. Everyone goes to bed. Malloy goes home. Next morning, Hollinshead gets up and phones his brother, who happens to work at one of the hospitals in Stoke-on-Trent, to ask if he can help track down where Ursula is. Everything's perfectly normal on the surface. at around 20 to 8 that night, we're now on the Tuesday, Holland said he's preparing supper. And he goes outside the back door to ask his neighbour, who he can see in the garden, if he could borrow a tea bag or two. And the neighbour says, well, hang on, I don't think I've got any. But and Holland said, that's fine, OK, don't worry. And he goes back indoors. 1 minute later, Holland's head comes back out of the house, shouting, she stabbed me. Erickson has stabbed him 4 times with a kitchen knife.
Jesus.
And Holinshed, sadly.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Dies
in the garden outside his own house after she stabbed him. Sabina, realizing that this is all a bit strange, and again, don't ask me how exactly this train of thought happened, grabs a hammer and runs out the front door of the house. The paramedics have been called.
The neighbours called the paramedics.
Yeah, the neighbours called the paramedics. The paramedics arrive, quickly establish that Holinshed is not in a good position, and chase after Sabina. During the chase, she starts hitting herself on the head with the hammer.
God.
She's hanging, bang, bang, bang.
Poor woman.
And they're running down the road, and she runs. It's you know, it's like Keystone Cops almost, you know. She runs down the road and she gets to a bridge over the A50.
Oh, no.
Another dual carriageway. And she jumps from the bridge onto the dual carriageway. It breaks both ankles and fractures her skull. Yeah. Where does all that come from? It is... And I'll come to the explanations in a moment, but... She is, of course, taken to hospital, and Holinshed is sadly pronounced dead. And one man sees Sabina when she's running towards the jump from the bridge, jumps out of his car, and takes the hammer off her. At which point, she produces a roof tile, which she's got in her pocket, and starts hitting him with it.
Oh, my goodness.
It is extraordinary.
Mm.
So, as we said, she jumps onto the A50 from 40 feet in the air, injuring herself badly, both ankles and a skull. And on the 6th of June... She's arrested while recovering in hospital, and she's officially charged on her release from hospital in September 2008 when she's in a wheelchair because of her broken ankles. Ursula, meanwhile, has been released in September 2008, doesn't contact her sister, as far as we know, goes back to Sweden and then to the United States. Eventually, Sabina is tried on the 1st of September 2009, the following year, at Nottingham Crown Court. And on the 2nd of September, she pleads guilty to manslaughter because of her diminished responsibility. No explanation, no comment, and both prosecution and defence agree that she was insane at the time of the killing, but sane when it came to trial. Now, one of the things that was not produced in evidence at the trial was the M6 motorway videos, because it so happened that the police who arrived when Ursula and Sabina went on this madness were carrying a film crew
making motorway cops.
No.
Yes, there's some wonderful footage. I do recommend you look at it.
Oh, my goodness.
No, so but this is never brought up. The M6 is never brought up at a trial for Hollinshead's murder. In fact, the only person who really gets angry is Hollinshead's brother, Gary, who says, well, why was she not given a psych evaluation before she was released to kill Glenn?
Yeah, it feels like that definitely leads up to those further events, doesn't it?
Yes. Now, the judge, in sentencing, he sentences her to 5 years. But she's already served at least a year because she's been in remand. He says, this was a truly tragic event. She was suffering from delusions she believed to be true, and they dictated her behaviour. It is not one of those cases where the defendant could have done something to avoid the onset. Well, I wonder. If the M6 events weren't taken into account, which they clearly weren't, is this not evidence of either a suicide pact, the twins were anxious to kill themselves, or a psychotic break, as we would call it now?
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people have tried to offer solutions to this. The most frequently offered is that it's a folie à deux. It's a shared delusion. One and the other. Sometimes the most... It depends who the most powerful member of the folie à deux is. It's often been assumed that Ursula was the instigator and Sabina was the follower.
Mm.
But if you combine the two, they're more powerful than just simply one. It's a shared delusion. There's also a French delusion called bouffée de la rente, which is a delusion flash. Were they having flashes?
Quite
of
a long flash.
Yeah, but, well, perhaps was the flash, did the flash start in Cork and then went to Liverpool and then went to Kiel and then went to Stoke-on-Trent and all of the above, you know, that there is, seems to me, no doubt that the twins were intimately linked. Identical twins were intimately linked psychologically. It's interesting, for example, that while Sabina was in prison, she turned to Christianity, having not been particularly Christian soul beforehand, she became much more interested in Christianity, perhaps because she was seeking explanations for what had happened and what she'd done. It's easy to say that she didn't know what she was doing. It's easy to say that she suffered from delusions, and people can, and they can do dreadful things while suffering from them, but it doesn't quite set firm with me. I'm perfectly prepared to buy an explanation with saying it was a delusional flash, but it was, as Molly says, a very long one, and that the two of them had a very particular
connection. Can happen with twins especially.
Yes, but remember, they hadn't really been together until Ursula turned up from the United States in Cork. Mm. I mean, they'd been apart for 8 years. Who's to say what impact that reunion had? It's a striking case, but it's not a crime of passion. There's no suggestion of any kind of relationship between Hollinshead and Sabina.
Mm.
There's no suggestion of any other motive except motiveless. That she did it, and she was insane at the time, and perhaps she's sane now. What was it? What caused it? What brought it on? It's one of those wonderful mysteries. There is actually another instance of this, which led me. I started looking at it, and then I thought, well, I think I'll stay with it. Quite a famous pair of twins called the Silent Twins.
Yeah, we've just made a film about it.
That's exactly right. Jennifer and Jane Gibbons.
Yeah, there's a documentary about them. They're from Birmingham.
Mm.
Yeah, we've just made a film about it, my company.
They're Barbadian born, aren't they?
Just finished shooting it.
And they came on the Windrush generation.
Their parents did.
Their parents did.
Yeah. And they are, yeah, they had their own language and their own, yeah, they didn't.
And one of them decided finally that she had to die so the other one could speak.
Yeah.
They were in Broadmoor for 11 years.
It's, they were so heavily interlinked with one another. They were sort of existing in their own.
In their own world.
In their own world.
They had this different language.
Yeah,
they did. Yeah, very, very interesting.
And it did appear that they were kind of totally into like one body, one mind kind of thing.
Yes, and when the one died, the other one was allowed to speak and started to explain what had been going on. It's a very interesting story.
Yeah, it's a good one. And a good documentary about it out there as well.
Yes.
Yeah, so odd.
Yes, those are the M6 twins.
M6 twins, thanks, Dad. Do we have any twin listeners?
I don't know. We'd love to hear from you.
Let us know.
Yeah.
Oh, I never mentioned, but, you know, there are lots of ways to contact us other than just Instagram, which is bloodties_pod, as is Twitter. And you can talk to us through our Patreon if you're a Patreon member. But there's also our email, bloodties.podcast@gmail.com. Or you can find Jeffrey's email on his website.
Yes. And if you've got an explanation for what you think prompted that,
please let us know.
Flash, that delusion, that extraordinary events on the M6 and then later in Stoke-on-Trent. I'd be very interested to hear from you.
Yeah, or any other examples that you think
that seem similar to you. Because I do think that it's a very interesting case. I didn't really know it, but I do think it's very interesting. I think it's also sad. Poor Glenn Hollinshead had done nothing except be a good Samaritan. And paid with his life, especially when he was preparing supper.
Mm.
You know, literally defies belief. But
there was that other story, wasn't there, about that lady who took that homeless man in and he ended up killing her?
Yes.
That was not that long ago.
No. They're tragic. I agree with the judge. It's a truly tragic event, and there can be no doubt of that. So onwards, my darling.
That was very interesting. Thank you again.
Yes.
I
like the idea of the motorway cops, you know,
I can't
having a film
that.
Crew.
How mad.
Oh, there were some really good videos.
Yeah, I bet. How extraordinary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yes, onwards. Off we go into another week and all that.
Yep. Another lockdown.
Another day, another dollar.
Well, there you go. I'm very impressed by the loyalty of our listeners. That's what keeps me going.
It's
a wonderful feeling.
We love to get all your messages and you're all just so jolly nice.
Yes.
Oh, you know what? Did we say, I don't know if we said officially about CrimeCon moving.
No, we didn't. Let's do it now.
CrimeCon has moved dates. The original dates were in June, but in light of the recent announcements, they've moved them to the backup dates, which I think off the top of my head are the 25th and 26th of September.
Yeah.
We'll be there.
Last weekend, September.
We will be there. You can come and see us
record
podcast live. And Jeffrey will be doing other work with his other hats on, of which he has many. And you can come and talk to us. We'll be on a little podcast row with all the other people who host podcasts. And you can come and say hello to us.
Yes, we've got to do something for that, haven't we? We've got to talk to another podcast.
Yes, and I haven't looked at those emails yet.
No.
So CrimeCon.
Yes, CrimeCon UK, we should say. The CrimeCon US, I don't know when that's happening.
We haven't been invited to that yet.
No, we're looking forward to
it. But we are very thrilled to have our US listeners out there.
We are, more than.
Hello to all of you.
Yes, keep up the vaccinations.
I think we learned our lesson from last time when you gave a sweeping statement about COVID in the US that received a slightly terse response via email, that we should probably stay away from making judgments on how other countries run their COVID protocols.
Yes, yes.
Yes?
I've had a very interesting correspondence with that chap. Very interesting.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad.
But yeah, as they say, let's all keep our fingers crossed.
All right, well, I better say thank you to all the people that help us do this for all of you. Thank you to our producer, Sam Brain, who does everything, and thank you. Thank you to my brother Dan, who did the music, my friend George, who drew our caricature, to Audio Boom for hosting us, to Jeffrey for all the hard work, and to you, the listeners.
And I, as always, like to thank Molly, because this was her idea, and I couldn't do it without her, so it's very important. And I think one of the things that makes it interesting is that is a different generation, man-woman combination. It increases the uniqueness, if you like. It's not just me droning on.
What, our USP?
One of our USPs. Betsy's the other USP.
Yeah, she's a top dog.
She's a top dog.
She's in charge, really.
Yes. But thank you, darling. Thank you so much. And thank you all for listening. And, be very careful of motorways. And do be careful out there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.